on this Jersey Sunday. If you have your Bibles, turn to 1 Peter chapter 2. We'll be there in just a minute. But to all of you who joined us today to celebrate our Impact football season, thank you so much for joining us. We wear our jerseys to partner with you and to say thank you for being a part of that. To all of you who played and coached and served and all those things, thank you so much for being a part of that. The unanimous declaration of the 13 United States of America, when in the course of human events it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve political bands which have connected them to one another and to assume the powers of the earth, the separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and of nature's God entitled them, a decent respect of opinions of mankind requires that they should declare the causes which impel them to the separation. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. We therefore, the representatives of the United States of America in General Congress, assembled, appealing to the Supreme Judge of the world for rectitude of our intentions, do in the name and by the authority of the good people of these colonies, solemnly publish and declare that these United Colonies are and of right ought to be free and independent states, that they are absolved from all allegiance to the British Crown, and that all political connection between them and the state of Great Britain is and ought to be totally dissolved, and that as free and independent states they have full power to levy war, conclude peace, contract alliances, establish commerce, and to do all other acts and these things that independent states may of right do. And for support of this declaration, with firm reliance upon the divine protection of Providence, we mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor. So are the introductory paragraph and the last paragraph of the Declaration of Independence. It's amazing that from the beginning to the end, it talks about sovereignty and divine providence and nature's God over and over and over. If you're a guest of ours this morning, I want you to know you're here on a special day. Typically, I have a sermon series that I'm preaching through, and it'll be out of a particular book of the Bible, and we'll walk through that particular sermon series over a 4 or 5 week series, so it's a 4 or 5 week period. This morning, however, with how significant Tuesday is, I wanted to take a minute and encourage you and enlighten you as to the Scriptures and what the Scriptures say for us as Americans and how our country was founded and the principles and the foundation upon which it was set. Now, you need to know this up front. It's not my intent to offend anybody this morning. It's my intent to speak the truth of what God says of how we should be as Christ followers. It's not to knock one party. It's not to brag on another party. It is to tell us what the truth is in the Scriptures. The bottom line is, on Tuesday, we are going to pick between the lesser of two evils. But the truth is, every election is the lesser of two evils. Because in every situation, the people that we're voting for or the people that we're voting against, the people who are running for office are fallen sinners. In every situation, we are picking between the lesser of two evils. That's true on a federal level, it's true on a state level, and it's true on a local level. No matter who we pick for or who we vote for, we have to pick from people that at their root have hearts which are wicked. It's neither the Democratic or Republican Party of either one of those. It's neither of those that I would endorse this morning. That's not totally true. I would endorse one over the other as one more likely aligns with the Scriptures than does the other. But neither of them align with and advocate for biblical principles up and down their party's platform. But you do need to know the party's platform. Because for those who are elected, over 80% of the time, they will vote according to their party platform more so than any other thing. It's not Democrats and Republicans today. It's about light and darkness. The scriptures say to seek ye first the kingdom of God. We can never be more committed to a party, to an issue, than we are committed to God and to the truth. With that being said, 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 11 through 17 say this: Dear friends, I urge you as strangers and temporary residents to abstain from fleshly desires that war against you. I would tell you this as Christ followers, you need to understand we are temporary residents. We are strangers in this world. We will not ever be a part of this world. And if as a Christ follower you fit into this world, that creates a problem. Conduct yourselves honorably among the Gentiles, so that in a case where they speak against you as those who do what is evil, they will, by observing your good works, glorify God on the day of visitation. Submit to every human authority because of the Lord, whether to the emperor as the supreme authority or to governors as those sent out by him to punish those who do what is evil and to praise those who do what is good. You need to know this. The scriptures speak very plain to the government. In Romans chapter 13, the scriptures give an outline for what the government is supposed to do. In Romans chapter 13, you should go home and read it this afternoon, but I'll sum it up for you. It's real easy what the scriptural precedent is for a government. It's to reward and approve of those who do good, and it is to punish those who do wrong. Plain and simple. You can read it in Romans 13. That's the purpose of the government. The purpose of the government is to reward those who do well, to do right, to do good. And it's to punish those who do wrong. That is a scriptural truth. For us, when we look at the scriptures, as we pick back up in verse 15, for it is God's will that you would silence the ignorance of foolish people by doing good, not by arguing with them. By doing good, it says. As God's slaves, this is the key verse this morning I want us to look at, verse 16. As God's slaves, live as free people, but don't use your freedom as a way to conceal evil. Honor everyone, love the brotherhood, fear God, and honor the emperor. The truth is, for us, oftentimes I hear people say, I'm a one-issue voter. I want you to know, as much as there is no one solution to many problems, there are numerous decisions, there are numerous solutions. I would tell you the same thing when it comes to voting. Now, are there issues that are very significant? Certainly. But I would also tell you that I think we have tunnel vision if we get to the place that we become one-issue voters. When I think in terms of verse 16, as God's slaves, it says, live as free people. I want to talk to you about some hot topics this morning. Hot topic number one, I've entitled pro-choice. Now, when I say that, some of you immediately think abortion. Don't go there. We'll get there in due time. I want you to think in terms of pro-choice in the sense that God gives us choices. God lets us choose. There is a choice for us to make. Live as free people. What are those hot topics? There are numerous ones. I've chosen three this morning that I would like us to talk about. Number one is the Second Amendment. When I say it's pro-choice, certainly in our Constitution reads that the right of the people is to keep and bear arms and that right shall not be infringed upon. That is from our Constitution. It's not from the Bible. You get to choose. Do you want to support it? Do you not want to support it? You have the choice. You get to choose. I get to choose the right to bear arms. Do I want to support that and encourage it and fight for it or stand against it? It's pro-choice. I would tell you another hot topic that is pro-choice for us is taxes. Certainly there are good things that come from taxes. Certainly there are bad things that come from taxes. Certainly they go to pay for good things and provide good things, but certainly they go to pay for and provide for bad things. At times taxes are not enough, probably. At times they're not, they're too much. But for us, pro-choice, we have the choice of taxes. Matthew chapter 22, verse 21 says, "Render under Caesar the things that are Caesar's." So in some senses, you have a choice, but in some senses, you don't. If you're going to be a Christ follower, to pay your taxes and do the things that the government asks for us to do, we must do, Jesus said, "And to God, the things that are God's." The church is the organization that God ordained to meet the needs of the people. Now, here's where things are going to get a little different. Now, I want you to stay with me. Do I think that we should pay our taxes as citizens of the United States in the state of Texas or state of Oklahoma? Either one, wherever you live. But the truth is, yes, I think we should. But I would also tell you this. My issue with taxes is not that we have to pay taxes. My issue is that the church is the organization that God ordained to meet the needs of the people, not the government. The problem with it is when we pay our taxes and the government doesn't handle the money the way that the money should be handled, what happens is then the people become reliant upon the government. You want to know what one of the problems in our culture is today? Is that we have too many people who are reliant upon the government where they should be reliant upon the church to help and meet needs. And in the process, we get to tell them about Jesus. But when they become so reliant upon the handouts from the government, their tendency is to lean on the government and look towards the government as opposed to look to and lean towards the church, where we have the opportunity to present them to the greatest need that we all have, and that's Christ. But we live in a culture where at one time, if there was an issue, the place people went was to the church. And we live in a culture now where people go any number of places and predominantly to the government. The church is the one that's charged to help widows and orphans. The church is the one that's charged to feed the hungry. Now, you need to know this. When I say that we're charged to feed the hungry, our church really does a pretty good job of that. Not only do we help with Bread of Life, and not only do we feed people on Wednesday, but we help people on a regular basis. People that stop by on a Thursday morning or a Friday afternoon or a Friday morning or whatever the case, that we buy meals and help people who are needy. We do that on a regular basis, but I also want you to know what the Scriptures say about that. Paul wrote in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 10, that if you want to eat, you need to work. Now, that sounds tough, but the bottom line is, if you don't want to work, eating is going to be a problem to you. But we live in a culture where people don't want to work. They want to rely on the government to give those handouts. The Scriptures are very plain. I would tell you, for me, Sue and I work regularly with people to help in benevolence. And we help a lot. But there are some we don't help. Because I do believe that biblical principle. If you're working and you're making wise decisions, then we should help you. We all go through tough times. I've been in them myself financially. But if you're in tough times because you don't want to work, that's a different situation. For us, our government has made people reliant on the government as opposed to being reliant on the church. The government replaces the church by offering a financial assistance, and it makes people reliant to the government instead of the church. But the church can point people to their greatest need, and it's not a meal, it's not gas, it's not the help with utilities, it's Jesus. And the government has overstepped their bounds when they put themselves in the place of the church. The last of the hot topics that are pro-choice is education is really a big one right now, whether it's public education or private education. I would tell you, for me, if you could walk in my office and see the degrees and diplomas and the things that are on my wall, you would know I'm an education fan. I believe education gives us a significant step up to accomplish the things that we desire in life. Not only that, but sociologists will tell us there's scientific proof and data that will tell you that education is also directly proportional or indirectly proportional, if you want to look at it that way, as a predictor of crime and imprisonment. Education gives us a greater opportunity to reach our goals. Does that mean that if you can't, if you don't have a degree or you didn't graduate high school, you can't be successful? No, it just means that you have a greater chance, and education provides that, whether it's public or whether it's private. The big push in our culture is today is to get the government to help pay tuition for people to be able to attend any school of their choice. I would tell you for me, I'm a public school guy. I was educated in the public school from kindergarten all the way through. And I think I've managed pretty well. Now for others, public education is not the same for everybody depending on where you're raised. And that's a hot topic. And for you, you get the choice of these, whether it's Second Amendment or taxes or education, you get to choose as a Christ follower which side you want to be on. But you don't get to choose how you behave on which side you're on. The scriptures say you be honorable so that they will glorify God. Now, second thing, not only hot topics that are pro-choice, but there are hot topics that as a Christ follower, you have no choice. There is no choice. I want you to listen. The first one we're going to talk about is simple and easy. It's abortion. Psalm chapter 139, verses 13 through 16 says, "For it was you, capital Y, God, who created my inward parts. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I will praise you because I have been remarkably and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful, and I know this very well. My bones were not hidden from you when I was made in secret, when I was formed in the depths of the earth. You saw me when I was formless. All my days are written in your book and planned before a single one of them began." Jeremiah chapter 1 verse 5 says, I chose you before I formed you in the womb. I set you apart before you were born. I appointed you a prophet to the nations. Luke chapter 1 verse 41, when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, that's Elizabeth, John the Baptist's mother, talking to Mary, the mother of Jesus. Luke 1 verse 41, when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb. The Greek word is brephos. It means child. It means infant. When I think of abortion, let me just give you a couple of statistics from our CDC. Roe v. Wade was obviously passed in 1973. That year there were 615,831 abortions. The lowest year that we've had since then was in 2016. That year was 623,471 babies aborted. That's 51,995 babies a month. The high year was 1990. There was 1,429,247. That's 119,103 per month. From 1987 to 1990, or from 1978 to 1997, there was over 1 million babies aborted in the United States each year of that period. The Guttmacher Institute, which is really the independent research arm for Planned Parenthood, gave these statistics. They said surgical abortions, medical abortions, not those that were done illegally or those that were done with pharmaceuticals, but those that were done surgically or medically, they estimate somewhere between 60 and 70 million babies have been aborted in the United States. That would be a conservative estimation because they are the research arm for Planned Parenthood. Now, I'll quit preaching and meddle for just a second. But I have a real hard time with how our country gets so up in arms that 213,000 people as of Friday have died from the coronavirus. And yet we have murdered 60 million babies, and we have a party in our government that will fight for the cause. When it comes to hot topics, as a Christ follower, you have no choice if you're going to be obedient to God when it comes to abortion. You have no choice when it comes to LGBTQ issues. Genesis 5 verse 2 says God created them male and female. Leviticus chapter 18 and Leviticus chapter 20 both speak to the act of homosexuality as an abomination to God. There is no issue in our culture for us as Christ followers. There is no stance for us other than opposition. Now you need to hear this. It's opposition with love and grace. but it is opposition. It is not silence. Another of those issues, and it kind of falls in under the umbrella of LGBTQ, is marriage. Genesis chapter 2 very well defines marriage as one woman and one man. That definition of marriage was requoted or quoted by Jesus in Matthew chapter 19. The Greek word that it uses as it's talking about fornication and sexual immorality is porneia. It's in Matthew chapter 15 and verse 19. We need to understand that for as much as us as Christ followers would stand against homosexuality and the LGBTQ agenda, for us as Christ followers, we need to know that God speaks to and condemns sexual relations outside of the bonds of marriage for men and women, just the same as He speaks to homosexuality. For us, sexual relations are only to be in the bonds of marriage in order for us to be obedient to who God has called us to be. Just like every other sin, it's forgivable. If you just ask, God gives grace to the humble. God grants forgiveness to whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord. But for us to be obedient, we must be living in the right relationships. Abortion, certainly a hot topic. LGBTQ, marriage. I know I can get in trouble, so you got to listen to what I'm saying. But racial and gender equity. When I was a youth pastor, one of the great discussions I used to have with students, when we were traveling on trips, that I would ask them, are all men created equal? Is that biblical? And they would always say, yes, it is. I would tell you this, it's not. It's constitutional that all men are created equal. But it's not biblical, other than in the sense that God loves all of us. But we are not born all with the same opportunities. We are not born with the same blessings. Some of us are born with limitations. The scriptures are very plain that for God so loved the world. But also in 1 John 4:19 it says, we love because He first loved us. We are not created with equal opportunities and abilities except in spiritual terms. The fact is, I was not created with the same abilities and opportunities as people who were born into a Muslim household. I was born into a home where mom loved Jesus and dad loved Jesus and they took us to church. That's not the same as being born into a family that has different spiritual beliefs. When we talk about race and when we talk about gender, does God love us all the same? Absolutely. Should we as Christ followers treat everyone the same? Yes, as God treats us. With grace, with love, to assist where we can, to help where we can, to encourage where we can, and to cheer when we can, and to speak the truth where we should. On these matters, they're hot topics. And we as Christ followers have no choice if we're going to be obedient. When it says in verse 16 at the end of it, but don't use your freedom as a way to conceal sin. For us as Christians, we must vote according to the scriptures, or we have used our freedom to conceal things that God says are sin. I listened to a sermon yesterday a buddy sent me. This is not in my notes. I'm just going to throw it in there for what it's worth. But we have a tendency to vote according to personalities. That's not the way that you elect officials. You elect officials on policies and platforms, not personalities. I would tell you, President Trump's personality just rubs me the wrong way. He says things, does things, and tweets things that he should not do. But what he stands for, and what he supports, and what he passes, and what he does by executive order, the platform and the policies line pretty close with this book and with my beliefs. Now, if you are a Harris Biden fan and you want to take that as an endorsement from the pulpit, so be it. That's where I stand. And that's where I believe for us as Christ followers we should stand. Because the platform and the policy is more significant than the person. When I think about hot topics that are pro-choice for us and hot topics that are no choice for us as Christ followers, the last one is verse 16. The first part of it in verse A, I think, is the key. It says 16a, it says, as God's slaves. It's not about the right to bear arms. It's about the right to join arms. For us as Christ followers, we are purchased by Christ's blood. It is God's will you silence the ignorance of foolish people by doing good. That's what it says in verse 15. What does it mean by doing good? It gives us that in verse 17. It says to honor everyone. It says there's a sacred honor in our Declaration of Independence that it spoke of. But in verse 12, it uses the word honorably to give the idea of admiration and respect. We should be admirable to people and we should be respectful of others. That's what it means to honor everyone. It says that we should love the brotherhood. One of our words at First Baptist is believe, belong, become. Belong is important. Galatians 6:10, which is our verse for belong, it says, therefore, as we have opportunity, we must work for the good of all, especially those who belong to the brotherhood, to the household of faith. Honor everyone, love the brotherhood, fear God. Certainly there's a side of fear that we know is respect, but certainly there is a side of fear that is fright. I would tell you, fright is sometimes a catalyst for respect. And we live in a world that does not have fright of our God. The bad thing is there's only one way for that to happen. Lastly, he says, honor the emperor. For us to pray for the emperor, whoever our leaders are. Civility is so significant among the candidates and among the people, especially among us. I don't have a clue who's going to win on Tuesday. But I do know this, as a Christ follower, I'm called to be civil either way. Ronald Reagan said, remember, we have no enemies, only opponents. It's a great quote. We have no enemies, only opponents. But should you choose to make enemies, you need to remember another often quoted axiom by many other famous and well-known people that says this, friends may come and go, but enemies accumulate. For us to be Christ followers, there are some things when it comes to voting we have no choice. But I would tell you this, no matter who wins on Tuesday, the sun will come up on Wednesday. Babies will be born on Wednesday. The gospel will be proclaimed on Wednesday. And God will still be in control on Wednesday. Our job is to handle the situation in such a way that we vote correctly, and then win or lose, we honor God with our actions, with our speech, and the way that we relate to others. Jeremiah 29, verse 7 says, seek the welfare of the city I have deported you to. Pray to the Lord on its behalf, for when it has prosperity, you will prosper. We in the United States are way more like the captives in Babylon than we are like the people in Canaan of the promised land, but we do get the freedom to vote. Tuesday, vote. According to the scriptures. As you go to cast your ballot on Tuesday, remember, the main thing is to keep the main thing. The main thing. As you cast your ballot on Tuesday, remember, the main thing is to keep the main thing. The main thing. And as you leave your voting place on Tuesday, remember, the main thing is to keep the main thing. The main thing. Liberty is freedom to choose. Be obedient in your choice to Jesus. It's a tough sermon this morning. I'm sure there's some of you whose blood pressure may be high. Maybe that you're nervous for me, or maybe that you're frustrated with me. But I will tell you this. I would hate for someone to choose to leave our church over a sermon that I preach. But I got to tell you, I'm more afraid of God than I am of you. And I want us to be people who live to make a difference for the kingdom where God has placed us. And Tuesday, we have a great opportunity. And Wednesday, we're going to have a better one, no matter how it turns out. Let me pray with you. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this body of believers. Lord, I pray that you'd give us strength. I pray that you'd give us courage, that we would stand up and be bold. Lord, the church needs to wake up, not just First Baptist Medill, but the church of Christ all over the world. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to be bold, and I pray that you'd help us to be compassionate. I pray that you'd help us to be loving and people of grace. But I pray that you'd help us to be obedient. Lord, we give the election to you. We'll do our part, and we'll trust that your hand rules over it. Lord, I just pray for each of us this morning that what we would walk away with is that your agenda is greater than our agenda. And I pray these things in Jesus' name.